Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast across the country and a number of affiliates, including WFAN in New York City. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll tackle a couple of topics, including a look behind the curtain as we make our way through this non-sports calendar months on how different teams and different leagues are dealing with the void. We'll do that as part of Soundcheck, your best audio of the day, coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. It's interesting, I've been reading a lot of report cards on NFL free agency because, of course, that's been the one kind of sports news that's felt fresh. We've seen a lot of retro games and look backs in history, which I love, but in terms of fresh sports news, sports content, NFL free agency has been front and center. And by and large, almost everybody says that Tom Brady signing with the Buccaneers is a slam dunk win for the Bucs. The Tampa Bay winning free agency, if you will, with that huge splash. And in terms of credibility, in terms of notoriety, and in terms of attention, professionalism, bringing in the rings. Yeah, that's a win. It's a win for Tampa Bay because now suddenly the Buccaneers become interesting. My guess is outside of the Tampa Bay area, not many of you watched much Bucs football since, you know, the early John Gruden years. So making the Bucs relevant and making the Bucs interesting, sure, that's a win. That's a win for that franchise. That's a win for that locker room. And certainly Tom Brady walking into said huddle, into said locker room, and dropping 9 rings or 9 AFC championships and 6 Super Bowl wins, that does a lot for credibility. But I don't think it's as easy as that. And I don't blame Tom Brady for going to Tampa. He got sick and tired in New England of being felt like he was not properly appreciated. And I don't blame the Patriots for cutting bait with him, because that's why I don't think that this Buccaneers signing is a slam dunk win, at least not from a football standpoint. You know, let's take a look at this. Bill Belichick's been on the right side of football personnel decisions. Maybe not 100%, but a pretty close ratio of nearly 100% for a long time in New England. He has gotten rid of players when he has seen a natural dropping off of their ability. And he has brought them back. It's not like he has gotten rid of guys early and then didn't say, oh, now he can help us, we'll bring him back. Look at Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung is drafted by the Patriots, is an underachiever. He lets him go. He bounces around the NFL. And then when Chung becomes a more responsible player, a more dependable player, Belichick brings him back in, wins Super Bowls with him. But Bill is almost always on the right side of these guesses. And that's why if I'm the Patriots, I'm not giving him the $25 million a year for 2 years either. And that's why when I see the automatic green stamp, check mark, nice job, Bucks, I get it from a notoriety standpoint. I get it from a credibility standpoint. I think it's far from a slam dunk from a football standpoint. And let's just go down. This is an unpopular opinion, but Jameis Winston just threw for 5,000 yards last year to lead the NFL and 33 touchdowns. Well, I know this. There's no way Tom Brady throws for 5,000 yards. None. Absolutely none. And 33 touchdowns would be a pretty remarkable renaissance season at 43 years old for Tom Brady. That'd be a pretty amazing season. And last year, the Bucs went 7-9. Now, is Brady going to throw as many interceptions and pick sixes as Jameis? Absolutely not. Is he going to be as careless? Absolutely not. But what happens if the Bucs get 3,500 yards from Tom Brady and 27 touchdowns? Do they stay at 7-9? Might they be worse? If the Bucs go 7-9, is this a win of a signing? Perhaps. Perhaps from a credibility standpoint, yes. Perhaps you say, well, DA, come on. You're talking about replacing Jameis Winston with Tom Brady. He's going to teach those receivers better habits. He's going to make that team more accountable. He's going to change the culture. And you could be right about all of those things. In fact, you'd probably be right about all of those things. But what happens if it doesn't really translate to wins? Is that still worth $50 million over two seasons? And the reason I bring this up is because if you were watching Tom Brady closely last year and not just listening to the national voices on those broadcasts, like Chris Collinsworth, like Tony Romo, who were making plenty of excuses for Tom Brady and blaming it all on no offensive line, no weapons, the scheme. It was all about everything but Tom Brady. You might be led to believe that Tom Brady's just as good as he once was. That is not true. Belichick saw it. Now, could Belichick have been more cordial? Perhaps. Should Belichick have given Tom Brady the lifetime achievement contract? Okay, you can make that argument that, hey, the guy has won it all for you. He has been the best symbol of the, quote, Patriot way. You're not winning six Super Bowls without him. So you know what? Give him a great pat on the back out the door and give him the $50 million just because he deserves that from what he has accomplished. Okay, I'll listen to that argument. It'd be bad football decision-making, but I'll listen to that. But when you grade out this free agent signing by the Buccaneers, I find it hysterical that so few people around the football world are questioning the football part of this. Tom Brady, against the better defenses he played last year, against the better team that he played last year, was not very good. The New England Patriots got fat on a really weak schedule, really, really weak. And those that watch the Patriots week in, week out, and had an open mind realize this. Boy, this is shaping up really well for the Pats, because not only did they get a relatively weak AFC East, they have for 20 years. It was still relatively weak. Remember when they played the Dolphins very early on, the Dolphins were in major teardown mode. They got a blowout win over the Dolphins the first month. Also, the Jets were a mess early on because of the Darnold injury. They got an early win over them as well. But when they also play the NFC East, which was the worst division in football last year, so four easy victories. But look, let's remember when they played any of the division winners in the AFC, they lost those games. When they played the Dallas Cowboys, Brady was miserably bad in that game against the Cowboys. When they played the Eagles, the team that did win the NFC East, he was very ineffective in those games. If you go down the list, And then we look at the AFC wildcard game against the Titans again. It feels blasphemous to question the Brady football because he's Tom Brady. He looks young. He has played the card of TB12 method very well. But in terms of the football, this is not a slam dunk that the Buccaneers won this free agency because they got Tom Brady. Now, like I said, if he comes in and he changed the culture and his legacy in Tampa Bay is he left it better than he found it, okay, maybe that's worth your $50 million. But if you're saying, well, the Buccaneers are automatically going to be better than 7-9 under Jameis Winston because Tom Brady's better than Jameis Winston, not so fast. Let's even say they're 8-8, 9-7, miss the playoffs. Is that automatically worth it? Maybe to some. But what happens if they're the same team, 7-9? They lose a lot of blowouts. Their defense isn't very good. Did they win free agency? I feel like there should be at least a little bit harsher look at what exactly Tom Brady is at 43 years old. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, you can follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. So earlier in the show, a caller called up and wanted us to go over the worst New York sports loss in 60 years. We came up with 06 NLCS. Carlos Beltran doesn't get the bat off of his shoulder against the Cardinals at home at Shea Stadium. And so yet, yes, the drought continued for the Mets, and they still have not won a World Series since then. We can do this with other cities as well. We were talking about L.A. and probably the Dodgers losing Game 7 2017 World Series to the Houston Astros, now knowing that the Astros were cheating. That's got to be number one in L.A. over the last 60 years. Probably, right? Next up on the phones is Rob in the 321, a regular to the D.A. show on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Rob?
D.A., well, if there's any team that can never win free agency, it's definitely the Detroit Lions.
Now,
sure.
That's true.
So as a loyal the alien, I would ask you to beat me up, but since all this social distancing is going on, I won't ask you to do that.
Okay, appreciate it.
So being the fact, sorry, there's a fire.
That's a situation back there. Yeah, the 3-2-1, that's a situation.
Yeah. So there's always a situation with Detroit sports, obviously. You know, I can reel off some of the major disappointments in Detroit sports history. Like, I'll go back to the 2009 Tigers playing in that game 163, the 12-inning loss to the Twins with Rick Porcello.
Yeah.
You know, he was a rookie, and he was being asked to step up and, you know, win this game for the Tigers. I mean, they were the only – that team lost three out of the last four games to lose the division that way. I really think if we had won that division, we would have gone on and beaten the Yankees. Tigers would have won the World Series. But another one, the 2009 Stanley Cup Finals, where Detroit was up 3-1,
uh-huh.
And then four straight, that prevented them from the back-to-back Stanley Cups. The 2005 NBA Finals, where Detroit was up 3-2 against San Antonio,
correct,
losing that series. And then the one game that I was at, the Aaron Rodgers birthday gift from the officials, the Phantom Face Mask call, where he threw that Hail Mary. I was at that game, D.A. My wife's a Packers fan, and that was probably the longest ride home on that trip. And then, last but not least, I'm a Wolverine fan. The 4th-and-1 where Barrett was short, I will go to my grave, D.A.
These are all really good ones. I appreciate the phone call, Rob. All excellent ones. The Tigers have so many of these. I can't really put the Red Wings on this list because they've had so many cups in this kind of modern era. And the Pistons at least got 2004 plus the Bad Boys in 90, 89 to 90. But I'll tell you, the Tigers have had so many, especially when they were paying a lot of money trying to get that last ring for Mike Ilitch. A couple of really brutal playoff losses, World Series losses as well, that just haunt you. And then the Lions, they haven't won a playoff game in, 30-some-odd years. The 91 NFC Championship game at RFK. I mean, I know that that Washington team was a really, really good team. It was Joe Gibbs' third Super Bowl championship team. But the Lions actually, with Barry Sanders in his prime and one of the best offenses in football, get all the way to the NFC Championship game and not even close. I mean, it's just Washington runs away with it in a sloppy field and just blowing all of Barry Sanders' career, a 10-year career, and never making it farther than that is truly crushing as well. But yeah, Detroit's got a couple of these, Tigers and Lions specifically. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll continue with this very uplifting storyline. Worst sports losses for a city over the last 50 or 60 years. Also, when we come back, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes at least one former NFL GM saying, keep the draft where it is, because without the other sports, we need it right now. We'll do that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Wow, I figured something out when I probably shouldn't have. And that bothers people, where I would look at that if I saw somebody else, I go, you know what, good for them. And nobody could just give me a good for me.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We all need a good for me every once in a while. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, also simulcast in so many other places that might be picking us up for the first time today, including WFAN in New York. You can always catch us Monday through Friday on the CBS Sports Radio Network. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, or you can listen to us on your smartphone, your device, or on Sirius XM Channel 206. But on your device, you can stream us using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. On a very uplifting Sunday around here, people want to talk about the worst losses ever. Nice! Apologies, we were scheduled to have on Walter Berry at the top of this hour. Unfortunately, we've been trying to track him down. One of the stars of the 1985 St. John's team that went to the Final Four. When we get him, if we get him, we'll let you know about that and talk to Walter about the 35th anniversary of St. John's going to the Final Four in 1985. In Atlanta, there's been a lot of bad losses over the years. The worst loss, John is standing by in Atlanta right here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, so I got two honorable mentions before I'll get to what we all know is the worst loss of all
time. Yeah, there's number one of the bullet.
Yeah, exactly. It's the worst of any city ever. But my two honorable mentions, first off, 91 World Series, Game 7. You got the classic matchup between Smoltz and Jack Morris. After earlier in the series, you have the Ron Gant issue. And earlier in the game, the Lonnie Smith base running error. So that one hurt. And then sort of tangentially related to Atlanta, you have Georgia losing in overtime with the whole Tua coming in to replace Jalen Hurts situation.
And that national championship game is also against the hated Alabama Crimson Tide. So that just adds so much salt to the wound there.
Absolutely. And you just imagine that combined with the worst loss of all time being up 28-3 in the Super Bowl, of course. The city of Atlanta lost two championships in that very short amount of time without ever trailing either game for 1 second.
Oh, that's an amazing stat. I didn't realize that they didn't trail either one of those games. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's brutal. I appreciate the phone call there, John. Oh, my goodness. I did not realize they did not trail in either one of those games. Of course, both lost in sudden death, extra time, overtime, etc. In Atlanta, they've had a lot of bad losses. The Braves have had so many of them. Of course, the Hawks have been on down times for a long time. And then the Falcons, you'll never be able to top, up 28-3, 5 minutes to play in the third quarter. Because that's one of those losses, not to really delve into this too deeply if you're in Atlanta right now, because I know that we're on. there, but that you have to contribute to the loss. If Kyle Shanahan simply runs three kneel downs and a punt, the moment that he's up 28-3, the Falcons win that football game. You have to contribute to the loss by your fouled up play calling. You have to be part of the problem. Remember, the Patriots score on a short field after a strip sack of Matt Ryan, which helps jumpstart the comeback. If all Matt Ryan does there is fall down to the line of scrimmage, you can kick that field goal. Instead, he drops back to pass, gets strip sacked, Patriots pick it up, score a short field. You have contributed to the loss. We'll continue taking your phone calls on this, because what's more optimistic in this day and age than reliving our worst sports moments? But it's therapeutic as well. Before we get to more of those, let's get to your best audio of the day in Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Let's start with former NFL general manager Scott Pioli, who weighed in with Mike Francesa right here on CBS Sports Radio this morning. Mike preceded us, and he says, keep the draft as scheduled. Here's the clip.
I am a proponent of the fact that we're going to hold the draft. Even, you know, I feel terrible, genuinely, with everything that's going on. And we need to move forward in certain ways. If we want to have some sort of normalcy on the other side of this, we have to be ready to go. And part of that is the draft. We've had all of the All-Star games, the East-West, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, all of these times for teams to sit with players, interview players, have their coaches meet with them at the Combine. The people that have been working should be prepared to do what's coming in a couple of weeks, which is the NFL draft.
Cosign. Pioli's absolutely right. The only reason there's any pushback from guys like Mickey Loomis, GM of the Saints, is because GM, scouts, executives would be uncomfortable. They can't be in their normal war room with everybody. They can't have taken their visits. They can't go to these pro days or have these guys come in and take wonderlicks and stupid stuff like that. So you're going to have to rely on the gut and the instincts and the knowledge of what you have already and from the knowledge of your scouting department. But you had a full college football season, all of them ever up until this point in time. You had, as Scott says, the Senior Bowl. Okay? You had the Combine. Let's not act as though these guys are stumbling through the dark. Oh, who am I picking? I've never heard of this player. Come on. I like that the NFL is adamant on keeping it this way. It might be a little bit more of a hardship for executives, but this is what you're paid to do. Make tough decisions and trust your knowledge. Here's NFL on Fox analyst Charles Davis, who was with Evan Roberts yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio, on why Tom Brady left for the Buccaneers.
Just show the man the love that he expected, because I did hear Bob Ryan, the great writer in Boston, say that there were 11 different times by their research that Tom Brady took either lesser salary or restructured his contract to help the Patriots. And I think he was just looking for them to say, you know something, all those years, appreciate it. Here's $30 million.
Well, like I was talking about earlier this hour, Belichick is betting that Tom Brady's not worth $30 million. And I tend to trust Belichick here. He's almost always right on these things. When he lets Vince Wilfork go to Houston, or he lets Nate Solder sign with the Giants, or he lets Wes Welker go to the Denver Broncos, ultimately we see it's in short order that those guys are no longer that good anymore. It's not like those guys go on to multi-years Pro Bowl careers after they leave New England. It doesn't happen that way. We don't see that. They don't give up on guys, and then suddenly they become something somewhere else. It just doesn't happen like that. So I'm betting that Belichick's right here. I am. Now, I don't blame Brady for going for the money. I don't blame Brady for wanting to feel appreciated. But I also don't blame Bill Belichick for saying, I'm not betting on a 43-year-old quarterback. So while Brady might have wanted the love, it might have even deserved the love. And I think that Belichick can be too cold and callous often. From a football standpoint, the Patriots made the right decision. And that's hard. That's a hard right decision, but it's the right one. And finally, Robinson Cano joined Alex Rodriguez on Instagram Live. If that sentence doesn't make any sense to you, that's okay. Here's Cano with A-Rod on Instagram Live of what career he would have had if he wasn't in baseball.
Now, if you didn't play baseball, what the heck were you going to play?
Well, bro, honestly, like, you know, I'm not that high to play basketball. I love basketball. I love to play basketball, but I would be a lawyer, to be honest.
A lawyer?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I like that. I like that.
Nice. So that's it. Was there any follow-up there, Mraz, on what Cano felt like qualified him to go into law?
Is Cano taking the bar? How are we going about this? It's so funny, too, because A-Rod and Cano probably have more in common than you realize. I have sources close to me, DA, that tell me they have been inside the home of Robinson Cano, and he, too, has shirtless pictures of himself
really?
In every room. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Apparently, you can't go into a room. Kids' rooms, trophy rooms, living room. Every room in his house essentially has a shirtless picture of himself and Robinson Cano. How about that?
Wait, Robinson Cano in every room of his house, including his kids' rooms,
has a picture
of himself shirtless.
Yes, with his arms crossed, the whole deal. Every room is a basically look at me, let you know that I'm Robinson Cano, I am chiseled. From his kids to his living room to his movie theater room, every room in Robinson Cano's house has a picture of him shirtless. So that's how he relates to Alex Rodriguez.
Well, maybe
I'm not making this up.
Maybe we need this in the court. Maybe we need lawyers to flex like this. Maybe we need shirtless lawyers defending the
right.
public clear.
Could you imagine Cano going to where my cousin Vinny had to be in Alabama and forget wearing a suit for the Utes? He's showing up shirtless trying to get two guys off a murder rap.
I love A-Rod and Cano, two convicted cheaters, kind of joking about, yeah, I'd go to law. Yeah, no. I'd want to fight.
I like that.
I'd want to fight for what's right here with the public. I'd like to. Public service is kind of where I'm going. I'd like to be a defense lawyer and maybe work pro bono for people that can't afford it. You know, after I totally cheated and got nailed for it.
And do you think, though, that A-Rod and Cano, before they were doing this, kind of had like a pre-show meeting before they did this? All right, and you're going to tell me about how you wanted to be a lawyer. We're going to get into that. Like, I don't think this was a natural conversation knowing those two, you know, basically egomaniacs having to branch out what they were going to talk about before they went and talked about it.
J-Lo in the other room. Alex, are you done? Are you done yet? I need the Ethernet. I need the Wi-Fi. What's the Wi-Fi password? Are you done talking to Robbie?
Oh, we got to rewatch my VMA performance, Alex. Hurry up.
That's your best audio of the day. Today, we are apparently canvassing our listeners for the worst losses in their city's history. Let's go to Gary. He's in San Diego. He has a couple of suggestions for worst loss in history. What's going on, Gary?
Oh, just one big one that still lives with me. I was a kid growing up, and actually the first time they had the three superstars together, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and Will Chamberlain. And that game 7 of the 69 series when Bill Russell, again, had the Boston Celtics to beat the Lakers. And the only time in any series that the player on the losing team, the NBA logo, Jerry West, was the most valuable player. Jack King Cook had balloons to come out of the ceiling in the Forum. They were just all ready.
That's
Bill
right.
Bill Russell stopped it off.
That's absolutely right.
I still think of that. And I'm a Laker for life now. Don't get me wrong. And that's why I still stuck with me. My nephew, even a first-round pick of the Lakers in 92. And I played.
Is that right? Who is your nephew?
Anthony Piller. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're Anthony Piller's uncle.
Put the first ball in his hand. The key is to throw Nerf balls in the crib and then keep them going.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it can be done. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
definitely. Year Shaq came out. Shaq was the number one pick. My nephew, number 15 pick. by the Lakers. Jerry West picked him, and that's where I met the NBA logo. He's a great fellow, fantastic. So, and actually he should have been the MVP of that series. He played great. Yeah, Wilt was kind of hurt, and Bill took advantage of all of it, you know, and there it was. That was Russell's last game and his last championship. Yep. And as I look at different things about the GOAT, as I hear people talking about it, it's generational. If you look at Bill Russell and everybody puts so much weight on championships, just like they're talking about Brady,
right.
Russell, 11 championships, nobody will ever match it. He was a catapult. He was team everything centered around him, and you see what he did. 11 championships
in 13
point. Years.
Yep, I appreciate the phone call, Gary. Great stuff. You're right. I mean, when we talk about the GOAT and we talk about Michael Jordan versus LeBron so often, we fail, and maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in that conversation as well, we fail to remember that Bill Russell has 11 rings, and if we're valuing rings, 11 championships is completely insane to think about. That gets me thinking about San Diego as a city as well in terms of Padres and the Chargers. I think the Chargers' worst loss is actually not the 94 Super Bowl against Steve Young and the Niners. I think the worst Chargers loss is actually the 81 AFC Championship game in Cincinnati to the Bengals, the Freezer Bowl, because those Fouts-led Air Coryell teams in 78, 79, and 80, 81, those were all legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and they never got to one of them and finally got to the AFC Championship game after the crazy Kellen Winslow game in Miami. But then had to follow that up in the Freezer Bowl, and Fouts just couldn't throw a pass, and Kenny Anderson could, and that's why the Chargers win that game. They were really outclassed by the Niners in 94. They were a Cinderella wildcard team that probably didn't even belong to be there anyway. I would also say 06, remember that, Mraz? The Marlon McCree game, they're 14-2, they're the one seed. The Patriots come in the divisional round, Marty Schottenheimer, and the Patriots win that game. Huge upset. Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson and company should have been representing the AFC in the Super Bowl that year.
That's got to be the most demoralizing for sure, at least from the Charger perspective. There's no doubt about it, and that's the end of it for them. I mean, that would have been the time they beat out the Pats, go out and go on that run, because they never had a chance really truly in any of these other years with the Patriots.
What did you think that we missed when we were talking about the Detroit worst loss ever last segment?
So, look, Detroit, obviously, we know you guys went over them all, littered with terrible losses. But from a Lions perspective, the last time they were in the postseason, everybody will always remember that Cowboy year with the Dez Bryant catch, no catch versus the Packers. But the truth is, that play and that game should have never happened. The Lions down the field get called for a pass interference on the Cowboys. Dez Bryant comes running on the field with his helmet off, basically screaming, berating the refs. That should have been a penalty in itself because you weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
Instead, the refs pick up the flag. The Lions don't go down the field. They were going down, I believe, to go up two scores at that point in the fourth quarter. The entire trajectory of the game changes. The Cowboys win. They advance and go on to play the Packers. But Dez Bryant doesn't go ballistic on the field, or if the refs actually do the right thing, don't pick up the flag and call a flag on Dez Bryant and give the Lions an extra 15 yards. They're clearly in field goal range at that point. The Lions would have won a playoff game and advanced into the divisional round, which is something we're dying for if you are a Lions fan, and that was robbed that day. The Dez Bryant helmet off going nuts, flag get picked up game, gets completely forgotten about in that postseason because of what happened the week later with Dez Bryant and the catch, no catch.
Now, that was only the wild card round, so hard to say worst loss ever happening in the wild card round.
Well, I mean, talk about a fan base. You mentioned going to the NFC title game in, what, 91?
Yeah.
I mean, so think about how long it would have been just to win a playoff game. They would have gotten to the division round. That's huge for that fan base.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that was a total robbery because the flag was down and then they picked it up. I mean, this was before we reviewed pass interference. They picked up a PI call and said no flag. The phantom flag game against the Cowboys was robbery on the Lions. So the worst loss in your city's history, so take all the teams in your city, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet at me there. We'll do more of that coming up here next. Also, this date in DA show history. This is DA. This is the DA show. It rhymes, huh? And this is CBS Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
don't like something, get it out.
Get him 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 out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We know you want to see college basketball this time of year, so CBS and CBS Sports Network is playing NCAA Tournament Rewind, relive some of the best moments from March Madness. We'd like to do that as well here on the DA Show. We were scheduled to have Walter Berry join us earlier in the hour. He was one of the standouts for the 85 St. John's team that went to the Final Four. Chris Mullen, Mark Jackson, Bill Wennington, Walter Berry. But Walter, unfortunately, we just found out, got a flat tire today, and so we had his car being towed at the time that we wanted him to come on the show. So unfortunately, Walter will have to reschedule, but we'll get him back on here to talk a little memories of March. Glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you. And today, we just kind of fell into a rabbit hole of going back over the worst loss in your city's history, because what's more uplifting than that? And so we continue on the phones as Ken is in Pennsylvania. We've been debating, what's the worst Lions loss ever, since they have so many of those? What's going on, Ken?
Yeah, I'm a big Lions fan. I'm not actually in Detroit, but I'm here in near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I'm a lifetime Lions fan. And I'll never forget the biggest loss in Lions history. They were a heavy favorite in a playoff game against the Eagles, and I actually went to the playoff game against the Eagles. It was the year that Scott Mitchell was the quarterback, Barry Sanders. They had a tremendous team, the greatest offense in the NFL that year. Nobody could stop them. And they went down to Philadelphia and just got destroyed by the Eagles. But the only reason they even played in that game was the Lions, when the Packers were battling for the division title. And on the last day of the regular season, the Packers played the Steelers in a game that neither team needed to win. But the Steelers would have won the game, but Yancey Fidpen dropped a wide-open pass in the end zone, and the Packers ended up winning the game, winning the division, and went on to the Super Bowl that year, because the Lions had to play that game in Philadelphia.
Gotcha. So that was the 96 season. Champion. Interesting. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I remember that game that Scott Mitchell threw like 5 interceptions at the vet, absolutely got smoked by the Eagles that year, and they lost, 48-10, 52-13, something like that. We're continuing to go down memory lane in such a nice way today, such an encouraging, optimistic way. Glass half full. Guys, let's relive the worst ever losses in your city's history. Before we continue down that path, it's time for this date in Mothership history.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
So we like to relive some of the crazier moments in show history. Let's go back 4 years to March the 29th. Here it is. I'm telling you, Mraz, that's why I want Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. Because he can recollect every damn detail and do the research about a UFO sighting 11 years ago.
Do you think they're hot aliens, or like they all green?
Well, they're probably not hot in the traditional sense. Like, I don't think you're ever going to find an alien that looks like a human. And so if you're...
Why not, though?
I guess because we don't look like aliens.
But we just assume aliens are green and, like, you know, wet, you know?
Right.
Like, there could be, like, supermodel aliens looking like Brooklyn Decker. You know what I mean?
There could be. I'm going to keep an open mind to that. But
I'd love to see a smoke show alien.
But you've never seen an alien sketch or a recreation or somebody who said they saw one and the sketch or how they described it was Brooklyn Decker.
Well, because you know why? The government doesn't want us thinking they look like us, because then we'd start to question everybody we saw.
Well, that's a good take.
That's my take there. But I bet you somewhere up there in a galaxy far away, there are aliens at some kind of, like, their own version of Vegas pool party right now, and people are just going wild. You know what I mean?
Aliens are going wild.
Aliens are going wild. They probably got their own alien nectar that's like beer.
Yes.
They probably got, you know, girls gone wild. There's probably some alien girls throwing their tops off.
Aliens gone wild.
Yeah. Some good-looking Martians.
Alienettes.
I bet you there's a Martian named Marsha up there, and she's fine. That's a world I want to live in.
You want to live in the alien pool party world.
Maybe they like fat, short, bald guys. Maybe that's like the opposite world. Thin girls loving fat, short, bald guys. I got to get beamed up there.
They all look like the new Kim Kardashian with the face tuck and the giant eyes.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Photoshop.
Maybe Brooklyn Decker is an alien.
I mean, it sounds far-fetched. Maybe it could happen, but their technology would be way more advanced. I'd love to see what their HD TVs look like if they could do that.
We can't even get Lance Bass up into space. They're zooming all around with UFOs and showing Aaron Rodgers the big orb. They've got better technology.
I bet you they have bottled water from Mars already. We're worried about finding Mars water on the Mars.
They don't even need Mars at this point. They've got all of those pool parties going on. They've got worlds of water.
Do you think blackjack's the same at their casinos? You don't hit on 16?
No, you don't hit on Z2246.
Yeah, it's true, because their number system's got to be all screwed up.
Way screwed up.
One's a different name. Yeah, good point. Maybe one day, DA.
Do you think they'd eat astronaut ice cream, or do they have, like, way better desserts?
I bet you they had Dippin' Dots in, like, 1943.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
It's still the ice cream of the future.
Here it is. Up there, it's the ice cream of the past.
Good point. They probably have something really good, man. With really good flavors. You think they're celebrating Easter Sunday?
Like an alien bunny comes to their house?
The alien bunny. And with a basket?
Delivers baskets of alien eggs?
Could be. There's a lot of stuff going on there. I bet you one day they're not pumped for opening day. They got their own sports.
Yeah. Like alien ball, which is a combination of probably...
Well, we don't have something called human ball. You know what I mean? Maybe they have tentacle ball, like football.
Tentacle ball.
They're trying to take kickoffs out of that game.
The commissioner of tentacle ball.
It's all about safety up there.
They just had the tentacle ball owners meetings.
Had a nicer spot than Boca, I'm sure.
We are truly a disaster. Let's get this back on track. Ian Eagle's going to join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.